truth.
You see, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep. Welcome back.
You either go to church or you're going to go to...
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. So what is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? Probably should stop doing that. But, you know, speaking of iteration, that might not be a good thing. You know, again, are we, speaking of iteration, are we iterating on virtue, morality, and religion? And are we steadfast and resolute when it comes to that instead of capitulating and sort of assimilating ourselves to the indiscreet, vicious, unprincipled lewd is probably a word, herd, giving ourselves over to this. You know, it's interesting. You create a people who are more vicious and corrupt, more lewd, licentious, and all of that kind of stuff. Condoning of evil, essentially. And at the same time, you create more laws, more and more so-called laws. And those things also create a clash of civilizations in people individually, you know, at a micro level and also at a macro level. The reality of all of this, you know, that was written in the Bible, places like Romans chapter 7, you know, the law is antagonistic to the flesh, basically. You only need one law to realize it. You know, the reality of it is inescapable. It's very interesting. You can see the progression of it. You know, more laws, more antagonism. How many laws do we need? Well, here's the first, and the second is like unto it, Jesus said. I mean, it's simple. It really is. And it makes sense. As a parent, that's what you think. It's common sense. It's the what I call the wows and does of God. Wow. Oh yeah, duh. Of course. You know, if a child truly loves his or her parent, then that's what they do. They behave in a way that is honoring to their parents, and they treat others in a way that is honoring to their parents. It's that simple. It's common sense. And guess what? You know, against such things, there is no law. Imagine that. So that's the antidote. If we're going to iterate, let's iterate on that. That should be the bookends of the broadcast and sort of interspersed in between throughout. Because that's what's worth focusing on. All this other stuff is arguably noise and distraction and filth and garbage. So we could just park it there, call it good. Here we go. Philippians 4, Verse 4, starting there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, this is the NASB 95, they call it now. Rejoice in the Lord, speaking of the dialectical continuum. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I've said it before, but can you imagine what would happen if you had a bunch of people, a bunch of 2 Chronicles 7:14 type of people who are called by my name, will, you know, that kind of thing. Those called by his name. If you had, I mean, what is a bunch? A bunch is a relative term. Can you imagine if you had a bunch of people, even a handful or more? When every time something happened, they did this. They were anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, they let their requests be made known to God. Can you imagine? That's what changes things. Brother Noah Hutchings was right. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. So what happens when you do this? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't wring your hands in terror, sleepless terror. What happens then? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a good thing. Verse 8, to conclude, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. If you're going to iterate on these things. I digress. So, you got, and I'm going to back up into the citations from the index and references of John T. Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth. And then probably back to some just random thoughts. By the way, the phone lines are open. Local call in 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. And that other one, you know, break, in case of emergency, break glass, you know. That kind of thing. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So, yeah. Thomas McNeice says that in seeking to explain this unprecedented phenomenon of a change which took place that was so drastic as to constitute a revolution, seeking to explain this unprecedented phenomenon, subsequent studies pursued by the staff clearly showed it could not have occurred peacefully or with the consent of the majority unless education in the United States had been prepared in advance to endorse it. And then you have guys like Frederick Taylor Gates writing in the Country School of Tomorrow, the present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill. I guess that's a relative term, apparently. Upon a grateful and responsive folk. The other day, Larry sent me the excerpt from Orwell's 1984. Every record has been destroyed. I've mentioned this. What was it, 2 years ago? Nah, it was right around... It was the beginning of COVID, wasn't it? So the COVID nonsense. So was that last year, I think, maybe? Well, I mentioned a few excerpts from 1984, including this one. Every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute, speaking of the iterative process. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. Can you feel it, dear comrades? So, you know, this dystopian stuff, what's kind of funny, not ha-ha, is, you know, that the... you know, Sir Thomas More's utopia is sort of inseparable from Huxley's dystopia or whatever. They're two sides of the same coin. It's the central planning, dear comrades. And there is a central planner. More evidence of, you know, more validation of the Bible, I would say. Huxley's Brave New World, Orwell's 1984, Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, Dante's Inferno, on and on and on. You know, society makes a Faustian bargain in the name of convenience and basically kind of greed and apathy and laziness. And bad guys know this, and they've written about it many, many times. People don't really want to do things for themselves. They want to give themselves over to these forces, for better or for worse. Nabokov's Invitation to a Beheading, Ayn Rand's Anthem, that kind of stuff, Vonnegut's Player Piano. Nolan and Johnson's Logan's Run, Ursula Le Guin's The Dispossessed. You know, there's just a litany of these kinds of things. But, you know, as Larkin, Texas would remind us, it's all sort of, I think the... You know, we played the video about Yevgeny Zamyatin's We and how it's kind of the cornerstone of the dystopian genre, certainly in the modern era. And you read this stuff, you know, We sort of reminds me of Bellamy's Looking Backward. Excuse me. You know, so you have We... And then you have Huxley's Brave New World. If you go to the Wikipedia entry for Zamyatin's We, the novel, you see at the beginning of the Wikipedia entry, the novel describes a world of harmony and conformity with a united totalitarian state. Oh, that sounds fun. It influenced the emergence of dystopia as a literary genre. Influenced indeed. George Orwell claimed that Aldous Huxley's 1931 Brave New World must be partly derived from We, but Huxley denied this, right? Just like Fabian socialist Edward Bellamy, yes, cousin of Francis Bellamy, you know, the Bellamy salute guy. We say the Pledge of Allegiance, right on. You're good fascists. That's fantastic. I'm not trying to be a, you know, a nihilist or anything. I'm just saying we should probably investigate a little further before we give ourselves to these patriotic slogans that guys like Huxley tell us that they will hook us with. You know, they openly admit this stuff. We use these slogans to bait them in, and then we'll take them on a dystopian, dialectical journey down the continuum to hell. So Bellamy, same thing, you know. It was a heavily plagiarized work, Looking Backward, 2000 to 1887, but he denied it. And as I have mentioned, again from the Wikipedia entry, in the United States alone, over 162 Bellamy clubs, quote-unquote, sprang up to discuss and propagate the book's ideas. Remember when Jack London showed up in New York to discuss Fabian socialism and how great it would be for America, essentially? Anyway, owing to its commitment to the nationalization of private property. Oh, gosh, that sounds like something that I've heard somewhere. Where have I heard that before? And the desire to avoid use of the term socialism, quote unquote, this political movement came to be known as nationalism. Wait a minute. There was that book. Didn't I just mention that book? Michael Lind's book. Didn't he write a book too? The Next American Nation, The New Nationalism, and The Fourth American Revolution. This political movement came to be known as nationalism. And it was celebrated. It was championed, wasn't it? Look at how fantastic Italy is doing. Oh, wait. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is bad. What just happened? Look at their organizational structure. We could use this as a model. This is fantastic. Oh, my goodness. That escalated quickly. Not to be confused with the political concept of nationalism. No, of course not. The novel also inspired several utopian communities. Right. Robert Owen would be proud. So anyway, Bellamy denied plagiarism in his case, just like Huxley obviously denied plagiarism in his case. No, he's a generational old school bad guy. And cut from the cloth of Darwin's bulldog. Not to be outdone, their family's been discussing these kinds of things with the Russell Trust contingent for generations already, so not really plagiarized. Details. Anyway, this period, 1933 to 36, is an interesting thing, and back to Flynn's Roosevelt myth, back to the Mises Institute book description. Below the description that I read earlier, there is the bit on Flynn himself, John T. Flynn. And that reads, back before we had a 20-second attention span and when these things actually meant something, John T. Flynn was a journalist, author, and master polemicist of the old right. He started out as a liberal columnist for that flagship of American liberalism, the New Republic, and wound up on the right, denouncing, quote-unquote, creeping socialism. What is unusual about Flynn is that instead of being seduced by the New Deal and the Popular Front into supporting the war, Flynn was led by his thoroughgoing anti-war stance to challenge the developing state worship of modern liberalism. The progressives like Hillary Clinton. Flynn's essential insight that the threat to America is not to be found in any foreign capital, but in Washington, D.C., and really sort of beyond. You got to pierce the veil in D.C. and realize, as again Ralph McGahee and others have put it, it's the president's foreign policy advisors. That's a fact, basically, that according to Norman Dodd, Horace Rowan Gaither Jr. himself disclosed to Norman Dodd. These same intriguers working from behind the scenes, influencing and persuading, as Bernays would say. Creeping socialism. It's the Fabian way. It's the Fabian model. Gradualism. Incrementalism. Iteration. Stick around, dear comrades. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I
Welcome
feel.
Back.
Blossom on a tree.
I said that I would mention excerpts from John T. Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth in the last hour, this segment. It took an hour. I suppose I'll do it right now. Chapter 15, The Roosevelt Myth, on the war. Drums rolled, a great golden veil came down upon the American scene through which its actors would be viewed. Behind it, they postured, statesmen and generals and admirals, in the role of heroes, and lifted above them all, posing in the full glory of the stage lights decorated by propaganda with the virtues of a national god, was the figure of the leader, capital L. When the battlefield is so far away, war is the greatest of all shows. It is the greatest of all booms. William James, a great booming, buzzing confusion, right? The money flows in rushing streams, just as Smedley Butler told us, right? And for millions, it becomes and remains the dizziest and most abundant memory of their lives. Chapter 15 is the conclusion, by the way. The lights have been going out. The bands have ceased playing. The propaganda machines are being slowly silenced. And little by little, life, scenery, and actors are assuming their normal dimensions. Despite all this, many good people in America still cherish the illusion that Roosevelt performed some amazing feat of regeneration for this country. They believe he took our economic system when it was in utter disrepair and restored it again to vitality. That he took over our political system when it was at its lowest estate and restored it again to its full strength. He put himself on the side of the underprivileged masses, just like Barack Obama. He transferred power from the great corporate barons to the simple working people of America. He curbed the adventures of Wall Street and gave security to humble men and women of the country. I guess another, you know, there are some specific, unvarnished views into the Roosevelt myth in addition to Flynn's. I mean, for example, there's the late, great Anthony Sutton, Wall Street and FDR. But continuing, Flynn's is, I would say, unique, particularly because of his vantage point. I'll leave it at that. He put himself on the side of the underprivileged masses. He transferred power from the great corporate barons to the simple working people of America. He curbed the adventures of Wall Street and gave security to the humble men and women of the country. And above all, he led us through a great war for democracy and freedom, Bernaysian democracy and freedom, and saved the civilization of Europe. But not one of these claims, Flynn writes, can be sustained. He did not restore our economic system to vitality. He changed it. The system he blundered us into is more like the managed and bureaucratized state-supported system of Germany before World War I than our own traditional order. Before his regime, we lived in a system which depended for its expansion upon private investment in private enterprise. Today, we live in a system which depends for its expansion and vitality upon the government. Precisely as Andrew Jackson admonished against, I would add. This is a pre-war European importation, imported at the moment when it had fallen into complete disintegration in Europe. Uh-oh, could the seeds of disintegration have been planted in America, dear comrades? In America today, every fourth person depends for his livelihood upon employment either directly by the government or indirectly in some industry supported by government funds. In this substituted system, the government confiscates by taxes and or borrowings the savings of all the citizens, it's the Keynesian model, and invests them in non-wealth producing enterprises in order to create work. Behold the picture of America, of American economy today. Taxes which confiscate the savings of every citizen, a public debt of $250 billion, as against a pre-Roosevelt debt of $19 billion, a government budget of $40 billion instead of $4 before Roosevelt, inflation doubling the prices and reducing the lower bracket employed workers to a state of pauperism, as bad as that of the unemployed in the Depression, more people on various kinds of government relief than when we had 11 million unemployed. Americans trapped in economic disasters and the political quarrels of every nation on earth. And there's more. We'll be right back.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Maybe with all of this patriotism from a bygone era, maybe I should light up a brick house double Connecticut Robusto and throw that in with some coffee, a good cup of coffee or something. I don't know. But I don't want to tarnish the book. That would be bad, so I won't do that. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, the thing to do. All of these patriotic slogans and things. So anyway, from Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth, continuing. You know, what is the reality, basically, is what he's saying. You know, we've been given all of this rah-rah propaganda. What is the reality? Are we better off in this substituted system? What happens? It's all of these things. So, continuing, he writes, Americans trapped in the economic disasters and the political quarrels of every nation on earth in a system of permanent militarism closely resembling that we beheld with horror in Europe for decades. Isn't that funny? Bureaucrats swarming over every field of life and the president calling for more power, more price fixing, more regulation, and more billions. Does this look like the traditional American scene? Or does it not look rather like the system built by Bismarck in Germany in the last century and imitated by all the lesser Bismarcks of Europe? No, Roosevelt did not restore our economic system. He did not construct a new one. He substituted an old one which lives upon permanent crises and an armament economy. Gosh, does any of this ring a bell? This is 1948. And he did this not by a process of orderly architecture and building, but by a succession of blunders, moving one step at a time, in flight from one problem to another, until we are now arrived at that kind of state-supported economic system that will continue to devour a little at a time the private system until it disappears altogether. As you travel, let me just take a break, parenthetical aside. As you travel, dear Americans, through, you know, wherever you live, you know, places that have all but eulogized the farm-to-market road and the concept it once represented, again, I say we are, you know, just consider the fact that we are all by and large domesticated and subjugated herd animals. And, you know, speaking of this stuff that Flynn writes about, stuff about which Flynn writes, again, you know, Hayek was writing the same thing around the same time. And again, he included in that chapter 9, Security and Freedom, the quotes by Lenin and Trotsky. The whole of society will become a single office and a single factory with a quality of work and a quality of pay. And we will all justify our existence, as George Bernard Shaw would say. In a country, everything, by the way, in that system, not just everyone, but everything, every system. That's why you see the conversion and everything is converted to this dialectical continuum. Because in the old system, you know, where you have common law, where you have real money that doesn't change, gold and silver do not change. The, you know, affixing to it of paper changes. That fluctuates. It's the ghost of money and money itself, but not money itself, as Jefferson put it. But when you are convinced, emphasis on CON, when you're convinced that this aberration, this ghost of money is the actual thing, and you are convinced that it is fixed, then, you know, as you see things changing, I don't know quite how to represent that visually so that it makes sense, but, you know, you see things changing, then it seems when you've been convinced of the lie that gold and silver change. They don't change. It's the paper thing, the ghost of money and not money itself that changes. It is poverty, as Jefferson said. Paper is poverty. It is the ghost of money and not money itself. But when you're convinced of the opposite, then you say, oh, well, the price of silver changed. The price of gold changed. Nope, that's the opposite of reality. That's a system of intrigue, sophistry, and Machiavellian deception. And so you get everything on this conveyor belt where it's justifying its existence. The post office becomes the United States Postal Service. The, you know, local volunteer fire department is converted to first responders. Peace officers become, you know, police, law enforcement agents, etc. And then Trotsky, in a country where the sole employer is the state, opposition means death by slow starvation. The old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced by a new one, who does not obey and justify his or her existence shall not eat. So, you know, as you're driving around. You know, when the state becomes the sole employer, opposition becomes death by slow starvation. It's kind of the paraphrased, you know. When the state becomes the sole employer, opposition becomes death by slow starvation. Yeah, Chris, but the state is not the sole employer. Really? Do you think, for example, grocery stores would survive today without the government EBT partnership? If you're not familiar, maybe visit some small town USA and yeah, and in particular, you can do it anywhere, but really in the small town USAs, you go in and just ask around to the local grocers. I assure you, if they're honest and courageous enough, they will tell you they would have closed their doors long ago were it not for EBT. Now, what does that tell you? And again, I agree with Jefferson, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. That the dead have neither powers nor rights over it. He wanted to leave this property that he owned to the people, and so he, no. The earth belongs in usufruct to the living. The dead have neither powers nor rights over it. Yeah, but then that's controversial. Right. Well, you know, read that, maybe throw in some Lysander Spooner and come to your own conclusions on that, I guess. So these days, you know, what do we have? We have these pirate ships floating the high seas, bellicose pirate ships, just like Flynn points out, you know, this rampant militarism, this militaristic thing. Reducing Americans to pauperism. How does he put it? Americans trapped in the economic disasters of the political quarrels of every nation on earth and a system of permanent militarism, closely resembling that we beheld with horror in Europe for decades. You know, if I didn't know better, I would say that sure sounds a lot like what George Washington cautioned against in his farewell address. Don't do this. And bad guys have used that, you know, like so many other things, point for point. Okay, this is what we'll do. Bellicose pirate ships floating the high seas of commerce, granted their warmongering is cast in very eloquent, silver-tongued, expert-laden jargon, right? And I would say, kind of along the same lines, bad guys have mastered the art of anthropological warfare, is what I would call it. I don't know if that's a thing, but I would call it anthropological warfare. Very sinister, very subtle, very sort of imperceptible to most people. And that's part of what goes along with all of this system that Flynn wrote about. That was the perversion that the FDR administration and the intriguers behind the veil or the curtain introduced. It allows them to do these things and make it seem like it's sort of an organic thing. You know, Serdar Popovic and Gene Sharp would be proud. So, and anthropological warfare, what is it? You know, coercive engineered migration, for instance, no matter what kind of organism it is, if you want it eradicated or moved to another place, you know, eradicated from a certain place, then you just call upon another organism to encourage the former to exit states left. Then rinse and repeat. All the while systematically engineering a dramatic, radical, and fundamental shift, and no one is the wiser. Maybe with your central banking credit monopoly scheme, you engineer some sort of economic hardship. Maybe weather patterns change in a particular area. Like John Brennan said, it's only, you know, it's like $10 billion. It's not that. It's pretty inexpensive. And, you know, suddenly crops are no longer grown in a particular place. so much for the farm-to-market road. Didn't need that anyway. Who cares? We got the grocery store. Maybe Roundup and Terminator seeds? Maybe Roundup and Terminator seeds cause the end of farming and agriculture in a particular area? Speaking of the end of farm-to-market road. Accidentally, of course. All accidentally. Accidentally on purpose. Ostensibly, maybe it's, yeah. Maybe it's a substratus socioeconomic group that has been offered some incentive, like, say, low-income housing, for instance, begins flooding a particular area. Perhaps one of the many frenemy groups trained at places like Fort Bragg, groups like MS-13, are encouraged to seek habitable dwellings in a particular area or something. And the next thing you know, strategy of tension episodes. And, you know, so like, how does this play out, practically speaking? I've talked about Whitefish, Montana, a place that many people, it seems like a larger number of folks are aware of these days, and its fascist mayor, John Mulfeld. It's a pretty little town, as long as you goose step, as long as you're goose stepping. But if you step out of line, watch out. You'll be confronted and admonished by the enforcement brigade of little fascists. You're all good little fascists, enforcement brigade brigadiers, including, you know, you with your bike and you with your Biden-Harris. Oh, yeah, and the dog park. Don't forget the dog park. A dog park in Montana. Can you imagine? The Biden-Harris rainbow-colored Marxist revolutionary fist banners and flags. Unbelievable. Again, Serta Popovic and Gene Sharp would be proud. What I want to know, speaking of all of this, is, you know, you start thinking about this stuff. And so the French Revolution, American Revolution, were they, you know, how similar were they? Was there the same kind of intrigue at work in each? You know, you start digging into the details, it's kind of difficult to imagine otherwise. You know, there are too many coincidences probably. Mike Rogers said it best, you know, as a young FBI agent, remember when he was asked about Benghazi? We played that clip many times over the years. As a young FBI agent, you learn that there are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are a lot of coincidences about this thing. But, you know, don't worry. Ray Kurzweil is going to fix all of that. We're going to target visual pattern recognition and long-term memory, because that's what you need to discern, you know what, this is the same. That's a pattern. Is this a coincidence? Kurzweil et al. Will remove that from those pesky things from our brains and replace those, augment or replace those regions with something more fun. So what I want to know is when was the last time a sufficiently informed and enlightened populace engaged in a truly organic and spontaneous uprising, if you will, to throw off the parasitic kakistocracy? And I would say, in my own estimation, near as I can tell, the last time was around the time when John Adams declared it one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. So, I don't know. Where does that leave us? Maybe quickly, here in the remaining moments of this segment, go to the phones in the next segment. The end of Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth, the conclusion. Where do you draw the line, though? It's so amazing. You know, what was the price of our, what was the price to our institution? You know, he says, so of course the war against Germany was won, blah, blah, blah. But what was the price to our institutions? And then, while the war was still raging, and as victory appeared, Roosevelt disappeared from the scene. The staggering debts, the larcenous inflation, the insoluble division amongst the victors, the appalling consequences of his fantastic surrenders to Moscow. All this is left in the hands of his successors. After the ballyhoo is spent, the fireworks extinguished, the martial music silenced, and the money nearly gone, leaving only the great spectacle of a disordered, divided, and bankrupt world. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Two things real quick in the phone. Flynn writes, In conclusion, at the end of the Roosevelt Myth, Chapter 15, on the moral side, let me say that I've barely touched the subject, touched that subject. And so he says, read again the warnings he uttered to his own people against the wicked men who would seize upon a war in Europe to entangle them upon specious visions of false war abundance. And just to sort of underscore that point in closing this excerpt, again, you know, echoing Washington's 1796 farewell address, Washington put it this way: why, by interweaving our destiny with that of any part of Europe, entangle our peace and prosperity in the toils of European ambition, rivalship, interest, humor, or caprice? And yet, you know, the Fabian contingent has reinvigorated that effort that guys like John Adams wrote about, for example, or against in his dissertation on the canon and feudal law in 1765, for instance. But, you know, we are dissuaded from remembering history, right? To the phones, Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Pat.
Talking about the American monetary policy, they're dragging out the Wizard of Oz on the internet cell phone. Mm-hmm. You know the meaning of the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That and I heard Slattery playing the end of the song of the Rainbow, mm-hmm. Over the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And I thought, kind of weird to play, but it says that the way it put it out there was there are 40 things you didn't know about them making it, which is real interesting. But they almost didn't put that on the end of it, huh?
Yeah, and it was one of those movies that was plagued by disasters of various kinds, you know. Very
funny,
strange.
Though. But they sure did a good job for one of the first movies. They had to share all those kind of people with Gone with the Wind. Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another fun coincidence.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you go. I'll let everybody else go to Conservapedia and look up the meaning of it or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, things like the tin man, the tax identification number
yeah.
man, and the straw man, and
yeah.
on and on. Yep. Yeah, it's filled with...
They said, like we're supposed to believe in witches. I've been calling the witch a lot of times. The pretty witch, she did sing her own songs, they said. They didn't even...
Glinda, she's the good witch.
Yeah. I don't know if they're lying to you, though. I'll let you
yeah.
go, Chris. I just want to throw that in for everybody to look up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of that, I think, again, we can sort of infer there's a reason that we have to watch that every year. The annual broadcasting of... a movie I've mentioned in the past that, you know, if it's not too much to say, I've said it in the past, you know. It's a movie that my mom said always gave and always still gives her nightmares. So, anyway, there's a reason that it's played every year. It's bragging rights for the Machiavellian. It's Machiavellian Duper's Delight, along with the continual propagation of sinister agenda. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Take care. God bless. Catch you on the other side.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.